Hey, this is Meredith. We're going to take a couple of weeks off as we get ready for our next 10 episodes of The Unfolding. We have some gripping stories for you, including an episode that marks the 20th anniversary of the September 11th attacks. These are stories you are not going to want to miss. So as we work on those, we wanted to share a great story from our archives. If you've ever been tempted to just say, God, whatever you want, whatever you have for me, I will follow you. The story of Brittany Frost will inspire you.
And I get to the last picture and I lose it. That's my son. I tell my husband, that's our son. There he is. That's him.
You just scrolled down and the photo came up and you...
And I knew.
God's story has been unfolding.
Since the beginning of time.
He invites you to be a part of it.
Another page in the unfolding.
Hi, this is Meredith Foster. Brittany Frost was a box checker, a rule follower. By her own admission, she had always tried to do things by the book. But when she and her husband did a Bible study on the Holy Spirit, they felt really challenged. Life led by Jesus didn't guarantee safety or comfort. In fact, it seemed to mean following him wherever he might lead. So they began to pray, God, whatever you want, we trust you. Their journey took them to the other side of the world and radically changed their home.
I married my high school sweetheart. We met at church when we were 15 and dated kind of throughout high school and college and got married. And it was good. We were serving in the youth ministry and were very involved with our church and kind of living life intentionally with the people around us and had a vibrant small group. And life was really good.
Were you thinking about having kids?
We had never felt called to try or to kind of do that. And I think we always knew that we would parent children, but we were kind of waiting on the Lord to like encourage us. We really were just desiring to live a faithful life and felt like we were doing the things that we were supposed to be doing.
So you did a study, your small group did a study on the Holy Spirit?
Yeah. So we're part of a small group that just like kind of really did life together and we're just really intentional about studying God's word and kind of growing in our faith. And so we had done, it was a study, it was a Francis Chan study on the Holy Spirit. And that like just got to my heart where I was like, wait a second, I have the Spirit of the living God living inside me. Does my life reflect that? Like, is that really changing who I am and what I do? And, or am I just kind of living a normal life doing the good things that we all are supposed to do? It was like empowerment that I should have had from the beginning, but I just don't think I had before really considered the power that was given to me in that relationship.
Like a supernatural.
Like beyond anything that we can do. And I think sometimes we say like, oh, God can do anything and Jesus is, you know, my superhero or whatever, you know, but that we don't actually live that way. Mm-hmm. That the idea that I still have to work hard and do the right things and follow the rules and, you know, be a good girl, you know, those sorts of things tend to seep in. And I think it's part of our culture, but it's just also not who we were called to be. It was convicting in some ways and just like freeing in other ways. Just as we were processing through that as a group and just, I don't know, I just felt like more in tune with the Spirit than I ever had before and was just praying like, okay, God, whatever you want.
So it kind of opened up your eyes that it's not just about what I can do in my own strength, but what you might want to do supernaturally.
And that I am equipped to do whatever it is, not by my own power, but when I am just abiding in who God is and really leaning into the things he has called all of us to, he has called me specifically to, that like it really ought to probably look different than the rest of the world.
And were you like a hard worker kind of, I mean, what was your personality?
Oh, I was like a good girl rule follower. I mean, for sure.
Gotcha.
You know, like, I don't want to tell you what my GPA is, but those sorts of things were like, that is who I was. Like, I'm going to check off all the boxes and do all the things because I am capable and good enough when I do that.
So you did this study on the Holy Spirit, starts to kind of change your perspective about what's possible. What happened next?
I think I was just consistently praying I'll do whatever you want, Lord. And
did you have any sort of concept of what whatever might be? Was there, and there was nothing, you were letting it be wide
none.
Open.
I was just, you know, digging deep in scripture and saying like, I know that this is real. Can you show me what it is that you have for me specifically? And it was so clear and in other ways, like very ambiguous, right? It was just like, need to move forward, look into adoption. I was reading through the entire Bible at the time, but I was over and over again reading about God's heart for the fatherless. I think God just planted a part of, like, I already had his spirit, but he gave me extra passion for that part of his character. And I think even at the time, I didn't realize that that is exactly what that was. And now looking back and seeing the whole journey, it becomes more clear. But at the time, it was like, okay, like, just look into this, like, just start moving forward. And so it became clear that international adoption was going to be the next step for us. We started looking at agencies. And I think once we kind of came around and said, okay, yes, this is what we're doing, is like, at some moment, it just became clear. And that part is really strange.
Just through the process. Like, you were just taking one step after the other.
One step after the other. And I think, you know, for us, the next step was illuminated. We couldn't see all the way down the staircase or even a few steps ahead, but like the next step tended to be very clear almost all of the time. And so, you know, it was like, choose an agency. Okay. Start some of the paperwork. Okay. And then it came time to choose a country. And at the time we were eligible in two countries, an African country and a South Asian country. And we like prayed hard, like, Lord, just show us, where's our kid? Like, we want the child that you have for us. It's not about us, you know? And for the first time in the process, the next step wasn't illuminated. He was somewhat quiet. And it was a strange moment, having moved through enough of this to kind of feel like, yeah, we had some momentum. And you can't just say to your agency, like, oh, wherever's fine.
Just tick for us. One,
because the paperwork is somewhat specific. And so they said, you know, in the next few weeks, like, just, you're gonna have to pick. And we kind of met with people who we knew who had adopted. We were able to ask some questions, and we started into the process for the African country. The process in the South Asian country was all special needs adoption, and we were going to be first-time parents, mm-hmm. and we thought, goodness, is that too much to take on? And again, we were still very prayerful and like, Lord, whatever you want. And when he wasn't clear, it was like, well, maybe this is the right first step. And I think it was, even though God did something really strange with that, or really cool, or really just not what I expected. So we did all the paperwork for this African country, and like, we're ready to send it off, kind of put it all together and have all the official seals and everything done. And it was ready to be sent off. And God sent me an email. He usually uses somebody else's email account to do it. So don't expect like email from God. But I know that that's what it was. And we were actually on our way to lead a high school like youth ministry group. So I was checking my email as we drove to the youth ministry, and my husband's like, can you just talk to me? It's 15 minutes in the car. And I was like, I didn't get through my personal email today. Like, I've got to do this. And I said, oh, it's an email from our agency, but it wasn't from the African country. It was the India program. I was sending an email to the families that were in process or getting ready to be in process in the African country and saying like, you are going to wait several years to be matched with a child in that country. We have children in India who are waiting. These are kids that we're advocating for. Could one of them be yours? And I, in my very sweet, humblest, best Christian moment, said, dear God, no, I just finished the paperwork. You told me that I was going to be able to choose and that it was fine. No, I'll pray for these kids in India, but like, you find them homes elsewhere.
Okay? Did you say any of that out loud with your husband? Or
no.
So he didn't know. Okay.
No. I may have said, hey, they sent us an email. Oh, look at these kids from India. And there were several precious little faces, and they just had like a little picture and a one sentence description and a fake name. And I said, okay, I'm gonna pray for them. And I may have told my husband at this point that that's what I was doing. And pray for this one. And you know, like, they're precious. They're all precious.
Course.
They're all beautiful children of God. And I get to the last picture and I lose it. That's my son. I tell my husband, that's our son. There he is. That's him.
You mean you just scrolled down and the photo came up and you...
And I knew, which is like not how that works, because we weren't part of that program. So any family anywhere in the world who was ahead of us in the process, because we didn't even have our paperwork turned in. Like, for all intents and purposes, he couldn't have been our son, but I knew that that he was. And he was cute and precious. And in the picture, he was a baby. And I thought, oh no, somebody else is going to get him. And then I'm like, wait, God, if this is you, that's not how we think about these things. And
what, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
What was it about the photo? Do you have any idea?
No, there was nothing that was remarkable at the picture except that it was my child.
You just knew. Brittany's journey of radical obedience was taking her to a place she could never have imagined. Part two of her story is coming up.
Hi, I'm Habib Habib. As a younger person, I would have never imagined that I was tough enough to handle the challenges that life threw at me. But I was wrong. By the grace of God, I managed through all of it. That taught me a lesson that we are stronger than we think and able to handle more than we think. Brianna Weiss said, "One day, the mountain that's in front of you will be so far behind you, it will barely be visible in the distance. But the person you have become in learning to get over it, that will stay with you forever." And that's the point of the mountain. 2 Timothy 1 says that God gives us a spirit of power. In looking back at my life, me, a timid teenager who was afraid of his own tail, I can testify that that verse is true. You never know how strong you are until being strong is the only choice you have. Just then, God gives you the spirit of power to be resilient and to get through the difficult times. My prayer for you is that you believe it too. Read more at HabibHabib.com.
And now, part two of Brittany Frost's story. What was it about the photo? Do you have any idea?
There was nothing that was remarkable at the picture except that it was my child.
You just knew.
Which is, again, just not how it works and bizarre. So I hit reply and I'm like, okay, I'm going to reply because I'm pretty sure this is our kid. And my husband's like, can I see the picture? Are you going to read me the sentence?
Is this still in the car ride? This is all happening
in the 15-minute car ride to our youth ministry. Wow. And he's like, this email could probably wait till after we're done, like, leading this group. And I was like, I don't think so. Like, I think I need to email right now. And he was like, well, you're just saying, like, maybe, right? And I'm like, yeah, I mean, this is just the very beginning. And what it was the beginning of a very, very long, hard wait, because that child's file was missing, unavailable. Yeah. So there was about 3 months of just like, yeah, there's nothing. We don't know. And then on our anniversary, we kind of got word that, yes, the file's available. There's not much to know right now. But for us to give you more information, you need to change over all of your paperwork. And then, you know, there's cost with everything in this process. So, yeah, you know, paying for that change and being confident in something that I really didn't feel like I had the right to be confident in because of the process, but also just utter confidence in God's ability to bring us the child. And I think that part of our journey where he said, just keep walking forward in faith. He illuminated the next step. And I was so worried that I was going to pick the wrong country. And he showed me, like, it doesn't matter what you do. If you are walking in faith, I will bring your family together. I will bring you to where I need you to be. This was his plan for that child becoming my child. And so it took 5 months for everything to be approved.
So this is now 8 months after you saw his photo.
8 months after we saw his photo. And anyone ahead of us could have asked to be matched with him. And that we were praying for that. We were praying that he end up in the right family. And yeah, so 8 months after seeing his face, our files were joined together and the legal process of making him our son started. And it was another 9 months before we got to meet him. So, and I think that was that weight and that part of your heart is living outside of your body. And not only that, but like, because somewhere in there, I became his mom. And I don't know where that is. We make these books for our children and they're each titled Where Our Stories Meet. In the beginning, it talks about like, this is just one chapter of our story. And somewhere in here, like, we became your parents. You stopped being an orphan. But like, I don't know what day that was. But I know that God had ordained this plan long before any of us knew about it. And I think that that's the part about adoption that is hard to explain to someone who hasn't walked it. By the time I met my children, they were in so many ways mine and in so many other ways not mine. And so that process is beautiful and redemptive and can be good, but it is also painful and requires loss, primarily for the child for which they grieve and you grieve for them because you're their parent. You don't want to take anything away from them, but to fulfill the adoption and to do the things that we were called to do, we remove them from the only home they'd ever known, from the only security they had ever known, to give them something better. I'm grateful, not only that I was allowed to do that process with my children, but like that God's willing to do that with me, that He's going to walk me through hard, painful, yet beautiful redemption so that I can be part of His family, be closer to Him, be more like Him. And I think that that's the underlying current of our story is that we, not the children, we as Christ followers have been brought deeper into not only knowledge of who God is and what Jesus has done, but deeper into that relationship and willingness to trust what that is, even when we can't see the next step, but to trust that He is going to do a great work, even through painful things.
So how old was he when you met him for the first time?
He was 3.5.
3.5.
So we had waited almost 1.5 years since finding out about him. We got to talk to the director of the orphanage for about 30, 45 minutes. Like, oh, he's here, and brought him in the room, and he's been with us ever since.
And how old is he now?
He is 6.5 now. So we just last month, I was checking the calendar and thought, you know what, let me run some dates. And he had been with us 1 day longer than he had been without us.
So once you had been through that adoption process, did you think in your mind, as the box checker, did you think, check, we've done that, we have done adoption now and we're done with this?
Oh, absolutely. I learned to never rule anything out, I think, because it's not what I thought. So it wasn't like, oh, never again, but it was like, okay, we did that. And somewhat like, okay, Spirit, like pick something new. I'm ready for a new challenge or whatever. Uh-huh. And God, again, had very different plans. So we were first-time parents, and I was just so tired emotionally, wow. Connecting with a child for the first time. You're meeting all the physical needs, you know, the jet lag and just all of that. And I was just so tired. I thought, how does anyone do this? How do people parent more than one child? How does this happen? And we found out that part of the reason that I was so tired is I was pregnant.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, I was probably even more shocked than that. I remember crying, which is kind of sad too. Again, I'm admitting way too much, but
when did you find out you were pregnant? How long had you been home?
Maybe a month. Yeah, it was just so shortly after, and you're already like,
yes,
hormonal and emotions and all of that. And I cried because I thought, I can barely do one. Lord, like, do you know what you're doing? Do you really know? And he had brought me so far that to even have that question was pretty silly. And at the same time, in asking that question, I just in the same breath was like, you know, okay, you brought us this child, like you'll see it through. And I knew that our son would be an awesome brother and we were just excited. And about 14 weeks into that pregnancy, I got really sick. And I mean, there's a big, long, dramatic story, but we ended up losing that baby. And so he died at about 16 weeks, and we were devastated, you know, to have seen God's faithfulness and, okay, we did these things. And at the same time, like, God was still there. He was comforting us, and yet He's faithful. And we came together as a family and healed and grew an understanding for who He is. And so his deep love for the child that we don't get to meet on this side of heaven, but just the utter blessing of that child's eternal life and some of those, you know, big philosophical questions that you don't always grapple with until mm-hmm. you're faced with them. But we were also left with this feeling that we were called and prepared to parent another child. And it sounds even silly to me now, but like, it was like, okay, then I guess we're supposed to adopt again. and that was just like, it wasn't trading one for the other, but it was, okay, God, you gave us this vision for a future with two children. You know, we prayed a ton about it. And his answer was, yeah, keep moving forward with adoption. And so 6 months after bringing our son home and after losing our second child, our son Elliot, we started the adoption process again. And I think in the weight of the first process, I just thought, how hard is this? This is the hard, like no one would sign up for this if they knew. And there I did, you know, joining it again. And, but again, because of knowing God's faithfulness through the weight, through the bonding, through the loss of our other child, like it was also easier to trust and to move forward and say, okay, God, whatever you want, like show me what to do. So we were matched with a little baby girl, and about a year later, our daughter came home. So I think it was about 18 months after our son. So it's pretty fast in adoption world. And I was really tired again. I thought, Lord, how does anyone do two children? And how would they even think about three? And I was just emotionally drained and excited to have my kids together, but just worn out. Can you guess what happened? I was pregnant.
How long after you brought your daughter home did you find out you were expecting?
It was within a month again. Again, it was like, oh my goodness, how are we going to do this? I thought two was hard and now three. And hard is probably the wrong word. Just exhausting and yeah. You're invested. And
tiresome, yeah.
And it's, as any parent who's parented multiples or had kids close together, it's just exhausting, yep. Period. And unfortunately, a few months later, we lost that baby too. Oh. And it was like super weird because you don't get second trimester losses. Like that's pretty uncommon, and to have two in a row, and we had all the doctors perplexed, and it just, yeah. So after a couple hospital stays and yeah, some pretty hard times, we experienced a second loss of a child. And
where was your heart at with God in that?
I think it was a completely different experience than after the first loss. I think, again, God had walked me through this before. And so while I was not okay, I wasn't angry or like, God, why would you do this to me? It was kind of like, I think I was just really grateful. I still am really grateful that I got to be that child's mom too. Mm-hmm. And that even though she didn't get to know my love in my arms, that she did experience, you know, only the best of what I could give her until she wasn't with us anymore. Yeah, I mean, it almost doesn't sound real when I'm telling the story because it sounds just like, I mean, it sounds pretty awful, but at the same time, when I look back at the past, I mean, this has been 3 years, right? So one adoption, loss of a child, another adoption, loss of a child. And yet like overall, I just see God's faithfulness. Like, I think he protected my heart. He didn't let me get bitter. And I know that that is part of the process that some people go through. And I'm not sure why he spared me. And again, it just sounds almost crazy. And then, you know, we grieved and looked and said, well, our hearts still feel like we were prepared to raise another child, that we were meant to parent someone else, and adoption seems like the right thing to do, and just to receive confirmation from the Spirit on, you know, the first adoption felt so, like you said, supernatural and otherworldly, and you know, and then by the time we got to starting the third, again, it wasn't about, oh, it was easy because I'm doing it out of my own strength, but like we had flexed those muscles, we had walked through the Spirit leading us, that it was just easier isn't the right word, but it was just there in front of us. And so we started the process again. And so within a couple months, we were matched with our youngest daughter. And when we matched with that child, we found out that other children who had been adopted from that orphanage, it took about a year from being matched to getting them home. And she is profoundly deaf and it had no language exposure. And we just felt like she couldn't wait. Language in the first few years of life is super important. And so we talked with our agency and, you know, we're continuing with the paperwork, but we're pretty sure that when legally allowable, that I would go and live with her and give her language so that she would have that experience of language at a younger age, even when we couldn't bring her home and get the full medical intervention that we were planning, that she would have access to language through sign.
So you moved there?
Yeah.
And how long was that then, that process?
So once we decided that we were going to move, it was about another 3 months before we were allowed to go be with her. And so the kids and I got like a small studio apartment in this big, big city. And I can talk about it now. And it sounds like it was just even easier maybe than like the first part of my story where I was, and it was. But again, having walked through all those other circumstances and situations, it was like, okay, God, if you called me to this, you're going to see it through. So we lived in India. It actually ended up only being about 8 weeks, which was so fast. And again, just amazing stories of God's provision. The court process was expedited in a way that is just generally miraculous. You know, we just saw God moving in so many little details and in ways that all we had to do was show up and God was showing off.
So can you, I mean, I think back to you and your Bible study, studying the Holy Spirit, and could you ever imagine, I mean, you fast forward to you living in India with three adopted children. Could you ever have imagined?
No, because my life is, when you look at it, like kind of boring from the outside, right? I live in the middle of the country. I married my high school sweetheart. And yet I feel like I've had this amazing opportunity, and not to live in India, and not to, I mean, that was super cool, but to just be a part of what God is doing. And it's given me a bigger appreciation for, I mean, we know his ways are higher than ours, but sometimes we look at what redemption looks like or what success looks like, and our picture is just too small. And so, you know, through all of these seasons to have, you know, been able to dig into his word and to just through no doing of my own, but through his spirit and his word that he's drawn me in, and I don't understand a fraction of who he is. But as I get to understand more, not only do I fall more in love, but I fall more in action. I fall more in willingness to look a little weird or to do something that doesn't necessarily line up with what I want. But I've just seen him do such amazing things. And then our prayer is that it's small ripples. And that, you know, by sharing our story or continuing to work in, you know, adoption ministry and those sorts of things, that our story is far from over, and we don't get to see where that culminates, because it really isn't our story at all. It was just a story of faithfulness, but even maybe just willingness, because we didn't know what that was going
to
look like.
What he was calling you to. When you think back to yourself before this entire experience, like let's just even say like before that Holy Spirit Bible study, and you think of yourself now, having walked this journey, what has God used it to transform in you?
I think before I was like a rule follower and a check it off the list. I still have that a little bit in me, but in my spiritual relationship with God, it was wanting to do the good and right things. And I think now I have an even bigger sense of freedom, that God's will and desire for my life is of radical obedience, but that obedience looks like something maybe very different than my old picture. I think it's gone from rules to expectation. I know that God has expectations for me, but they are within this wide freedom of all the things that he is doing, and that he is going to call me to something very specific for me, but that feels so free and joyful, not because it is easy and not because it is already pre-plowed all of the time, but that it is in step with his spirit. There's just an extra measure of joy in knowing him, not always knowing what's ahead, because I think we get so stuck in the knowing, but knowing who he is and just resting in his power to maybe change paperwork, or maybe heal bodies, or maybe talk to a judge or maybe send an email, and that I couldn't have picked any one of those things and said, this is what needs to happen for me to get X, Y, or Z, because it wasn't about what I wanted. I don't know that any of those things were what I wanted, but he has immense power and immense freedom, and that I get to live in that and relish in that and then give that back to my children, to my community. He is molding me into something better than I was before, and that daily we get to be refined and sanctified and grown in likeness to him, and that it's not comfortable, but it's joyful.
Brittany talked about how God has drawn her closer, and as she knows him more, she falls more in love and more in action. And part of that action has been founding an organization named The Call. The goal is to help the body of Christ come together to live out God's call to love and care for orphans. And each fall, they host an event called The Gathering, where they encourage you to learn more about God's heart for orphans and then see how he might be asking you to respond to that call. You can learn more about The Gathering on The Call Adoption and Foster Care Ministry Facebook page. By the way, a sweet postscript to Brittany's story. About a month after we recorded this interview, she found out she was expecting, and now they have added a sweet baby girl to their family. Thanks so much to Brittany for sharing her story. Well, The Unfolding is a team effort. Big thanks to Jason Rakow for stellar production, to our sponsor, Habib Habib, the founder of H Squared Leadership Institute. Find out how to unleash the full power of your leadership potential at HabibHabib.com. The Unfolding is produced by Northwestern Media, a ministry of the University of Northwestern St. Paul. We'll be back on September 10th with a special episode commemorating the 20th anniversary of the 9/11 attacks. These are incredible stories from 9/11. You won't want to miss it.